This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Immigration's been a hot topic for Donald Trump. I want to get to the latest on his immigration stance following the nominee's comments last night. Listen.
There certainly can be a softening because we're not looking to hurt people. We want people. We have some great people in this country. We have some great, great people in this country. So, but we're going to follow the laws of this country.
Interesting to actually hear him say that word about his immigration policy, that he's softening.
Well, what he's really saying, and I think it actually makes a lot of sense, it should make sense to both Republicans and Democrats, is, you know, we have not actually tried applying the laws that we have on the books. Let's apply the laws, and then let's see what's left that needs to be addressed at that point. And I think that's a very, very valid way to do things. He's talking to advisors. He's listening to people. And this should give comfort to everybody, including the Democrats, that he's not a wild man who just goes off with ideals, but he actually listens to people, and he integrates that into what he's going to do.
You know, Dr. Carson brings out something here, Scott, that I think is so vital. And even Trump himself, he just, what a novel idea. You follow the laws. I mean, you know, and this is what the Democrats do. And it was pointed out, you know, by Carol Swain in the movie Hillary's America, how the Democrats kind of take what is the law, they obliterate it, and then they come back and reinstitute it because they want credit. And somehow we, the people, give them credit for making the law, but they were the ones that messed it up to begin with because they chose not to follow the law. I mean, if people cannot see the obvious model and format that Democrats do here, I mean, they are the ones that have abused the law. And I blame the Republicans because they've gone along with it as well to, you know, kind of allow the lines to be blurred. And now here it is. You've got somebody with some common sense going, hey, why don't we just follow the laws that we have? Because when we do, it's win-win for everybody. I mean, we've put in a lot of, I'd say, money and research in developing the immigration policies. We've had, you know, we've interviewed Bruce Thatcher many times, I think, who has written the definitive book on immigration, you know, historically, takes a look at all the immigration laws of different empires and nations before us. And what happens when they start obliterating the lines and redefine their borders or just take their borders, you know, right off the books and, you know, what that has done. I mean, there's been enough empirical evidence over the ages to see what happens when we follow the lead and do the kind of things that we're doing in here in America. So why not go back and do what you were doing when it was working? And that is that we followed the laws. What a novel concept. And then everybody wins. Because, you know, I got to tell you, I don't care if it's Hispanic or whoever's here illegally. And it's not just Hispanic, even though that seems to be the focus in Mexico. And that's why I was trying to point out with Curtis Ellis is that, yes, it's very complex. And I don't blame Hispanics for, you know, raising, the, you know, having their ire raised a little bit and their back stiffening up because they seem to be the single focus of this. But, you know, I think there's a lot of complexity to it that's involved. It's not all, you know, I would say their fault. We, the people, have been complicit in setting the situation up. And I think, if anything, there needs to be an extension of some special compassion, you know, toward Hispanics because of what we created there. Now, other people who have, you know, just blatantly extended their you know, their visas and one thing or another and violated the laws. I'm not saying that there needs to be a breaking of the laws. I just think there needs to be some consideration and maybe softening might be, you know, might be the better term. And, you know, coming up with, you know, policies that are win-win for everybody And that's what needs to be considered, as opposed to this just knee-jerk, hard-line position that seems to be communicated. And I don't think necessarily that's Donald Trump's heart. But the discussion will continue. Thank you for joining us.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. Jeff Kemp is with us. Been a bit since we've last spoken with Jeff, I think through the summertime and the busy schedules, but it's always good to have Jeff with us. He quarterbacked in the NFL for 11 years, playing for the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Eagles. He and his father, Jack Kemp, were the first father-son quarterbacks in NFL history. Today, Jeff speaks at community events, churches, men's and marriage conferences, business conferences, and prayer breakfasts. He's also the vice president and of family life. Jeff Kemp, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. It's good to be back with you again, man.
Hey, well, Jeff, I got to tell you, as we look over the landscape of our country these days, riots in Milwaukee, the devastation that our fellow citizens are facing in Louisiana. I mean, if the family unit has never been under attack as ever before and realize at the same time just how significant it is to our society, it is with all these crises that surround us these days, isn't it?
There is a lot of hardship that people are going through in their private lives, and you look at public disasters that occur, and then some of the ramifications of decades or centuries of prejudice and racism and government policies that kind of seemed like they were supposed to help people but trap them in situations where they don't have good educations or jobs, where families been discouraged unintentionally by some of our laws. And boy, we've got some big divisions, some big challenges. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. God can bring people to himself in very tough times. And that was the way that the early church and the Roman Empire spread, by getting persecuted but staying true to God, having a different joy than circumstances. And this is a time for Christian people to step up and for Americans to be part of the solution, not just to criticize.
Exactly. Well, Jeff, from your experience, your professional experience in sports, I'm sure there were some prejudices that existed, but seemingly minor from my observation. How would you characterize your professional experience versus society of today?
Well, football's a fabulous melting pot, man. You walk in the huddle and you don't ask what color someone is or where they came from or who their family is. You just say, hey, can you block and can you catch this pass? Can you help us get in the end zone and come back, you know, from behind in the fourth quarter and win? And then all that time and proximity with one another, guys from different backgrounds, different races, you know, you become a team, and in many cases, brothers. And in my case, really close brothers with some of the Christian guys where, you know, our bond as, you know, sons of God and believers in Jesus was so strong, kind of the difference in our race was actually a joy, because we enjoyed loving each other and having kind of a public mission to show that we love each other. But that was largely because of Christ. But football did a lot, just hanging out together that much, the necessity of teamwork. You sacrifice for one another. You get to know life stories, and when you know someone's background and their life story, you have a lot more empathy and understanding and appreciation for someone. You know, America's so loaded with information, and we do so much soundbite Twitter communications that we end up with more labels these days. And I think we need to go back to talking to people around the dinner table, inviting people into our homes, taking someone out to lunch, listening to their story, asking questions, not assuming.
You know, I think it's important for people to understand that in a society that's been disqualifying you and invalidating your perspective, especially if you bring Jesus in the conversation. I've often said if you want to clear a room, just say Jesus, and you'll watch people scatter in a general marketplace. But he said that his name would be offensive. We know that. It's offensive to that which offends. But they want to try to justify their positions, and I say it is at a dire cost, and I know that their very souls are what you and I are fighting for, Jeff. When you mention brotherly love in the context of, you know, what happens on the football field, that's consistent with your latest presentation from Facing Our Blitz. Brothers compete in love. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's funny. I got a cool quote from Diane Sawyer, the journalist, who said that marriage is a contest of generosity. If you think about that, each person trying to out-bless and out-generous and out-kind and out-forgive and out-love the other person, that would make for a great marriage, wouldn't it?
That's
a contrast to the American version of consuming from one another, waiting for others to meet your needs and acting like you have rights, rather than the opportunity to love someone else. So in that spirit of generosity, there's a great Jewish story. I think it came from the Talmud that got passed down orally for many years about two brothers, and they were both farmers. One was single, one had kids and a large family, and they both stored their grain in a barn. And interestingly, at the same time, they both thought about their brother and thought, gosh, my brother doesn't have any kids to take care of him when he's old, no wife to take care of him. I should give him some extra grain. And so the married brother snuck some of his grain in the middle of the night into his other brother's barn. And then the single brother still thought, my gosh, I don't have to take care of all these kids like my brother does. He has to feed all of them. Maybe I should give some of my grain to him. So he was secretly sneaking grain into his married brother's barn at night. And they did this a couple of nights without getting mixed up and not finding out about it. And then one night they were both doing it at the exact same time, and they bumped into each other as they were generously serving and giving their grain to their brother in an anonymous way. And when they ran into each other, they kind of not just were alarmed, but they started to laugh with joy and appreciation that their brother would do that for them, even while they were doing it for their brother. And that embrace was an embrace of two unconditional lovers, brothers being generous and trying to out-generous one another and not get the credit for it. That would go a long way in my husbanding. That would go a long way for a wife to make her marriage better. That would go a long way for a dad or a mom to out-bless their kids. And in our relationships, how can I out-bless others? I have a friend named Scott Stixel who gave me that advice one time. Always try to out-bless other people. I don't know that I succeed at it, but it's a great perspective.
Boy, I like that. I like that. And especially when you realize, Jeff, as we've done in life by experience, giving is always better than receiving. I mean, it's nice to receive, no doubt about it. But there's something special about giving. It's immutable. I mean, God gave us that gift by telling us and exampling us, you know, to us, how he first gave. And when we follow that pattern, I mean, what a blessing, right?
It was interesting. In the book of John, it records what Jesus was talking, and he said to his disciples, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. But actually, that's not a new commandment. Isn't that what God had been saying all along, ever since the Old Testament? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you. So basically, he gave them the old commandment with a new standard. Love each other in an even deeper sacrificial way, the way I, Jesus, have loved you. And for a lot of us, they're thinking, this is hard to do. I mean, and it's hard to be loving when someone's mean to you, or forgiving when someone has offended you. It's hard when your life is, you know, scrapping to make enough money to get by, or you lost your job, your circumstances stink, and you hear this radio show saying, try to out-bless people. And you know what? If we consider how much God loved us, and that we don't just live for 80 years, but 800 million years times 80 years,
exactly,
and then eternity on top of that, and that we're souls, not just bodies, and that Jesus would die on a cross and reject himself and be rejected for us, well, that's the source of love that can then make me generous. That's where I can get forgiveness. That's where I can get kindness. That's where I can persevere in my marriage when it isn't easy.
Jeff Kemp on Bill Martinez Live.
August is National Immunization Awareness Month. Parents, this is a reminder for you to take your adolescents and young adults to their healthcare provider to get any recommended vaccines before they head back to school. This includes vaccines to help protect against meningococcal disease, an uncommon but serious bacterial infection that can attack without warning. With recent cases and outbreaks at colleges and universities in the U.S., it is important that parents talk to their healthcare provider about getting their children vaccinated against meningococcal disease before they go back to school. Dr. Richard Chung, Director of Adolescent Medicine at Duke University.
Two different vaccines are needed to be fully immunized against meningococcal disease, a vaccine that helps protect against groups A, C, W, and Y, and a different vaccine that helps protect against group B, also known as MenB, which accounts for nearly 50% of all U.S. cases of meningococcal disease in 17 to 23-year-olds.
Visit www.stopmenb.com to learn more about MenB and available meningococcal vaccines. This message is sponsored by Pfizer, Inc.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's get in line here. Let's conga it out together, huh? Why not? Bill Martinez here within 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, this past Monday marked the 20th anniversary of the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996. It was a landmark piece of legislation more commonly known as welfare reform. Probably the last time there was a bipartisan effort to do something quite revolutionary. So let's take a look at what happened in the last 20 years, the plus, the minuses, and how effective it actually has been for America's poor. And here to help us do that is Robert Doerr. He's a mortgage fellow in poverty studies with the American Enterprise Institute. His focus has been on welfare, poverty, federal programs, and families. Robert Doerr, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Is that fair to say that 20 years ago, probably the last time that we had a bipartisan effort to do something, you know, as landmark as welfare reform?
Absolutely. It was a big, bold thing, and it was bipartisan, overwhelming bipartisan vote in both houses of Congress, and President Clinton signed something that Republicans very much wanted. And they came together to make a big change in a program that really had was not serving Americans well and was frustrating Americans by keeping them in poverty over long periods of time. Now, we've made some progress, but we've still got some more to do.
So, and I'm glad to hear you say that there's been some progress made, but I think one of the key linchpins to this Welfare Reform Act was that it was encouraging people to get back to work, not just to become dependent on the system and go to the public trough, so to speak, and surrender their dreams and ambitions for the sake of a government paycheck.
It didn't just encourage, it actually required. It was pretty emphatic, and it told states that they had to run programs for we're talking about programs that concern single-parent households, mostly mothers, the children in the household, that when they came in and wanted cash welfare, when they wanted a check on a monthly basis, they had to be going to work or participating in a program that looked like work. They had to show up someplace and have attendance taken. And so they got into the rigor and discipline of work. So it was more than just encouraging. We tried to encourage people but give them a benefit, and that's not really enough. You have to go further. You have to really have a schedule and a routine and a regularity so that someone understands that if they're going to receive assistance, they're also going to have a reciprocal relationship where they're doing something as well.
You know, and I got to tell you, when that happened, it was win-win. I mean, we heard the success stories. I think Star Jones comes to mind right away, and she's been kind of the figurehead of this and a perfect example. But there's been other stories like this. And
thousands
like stars, right?
Of families said when faced with that, when understood that that was the expectation, they went to work. I mean,
imagine
the
that,
real heroes of welfare reform weren't really Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich. They were the millions of single moms mostly who said, you know what? If that's the rules of the game, I don't want to just receive a check. I'll just go and get a job. And then in return, we also have built up some programs that have rewarded work. Now, sometimes they've gone a little overboard and there's a disincentive to work in some of them. But by and large, we've linked a work requirement with programs that also make wages go a little further. And that's led to a huge increase in labor force participation by single parent moms and a poverty drop. We reached the all-time low in African-American child poverty in the first 6 years after welfare reform. We've gone backwards a little bit since then, but the theory is right. Require work. A job is the first step out of poverty. Reward work with benefits that can make those wages go a little further, but keep people focusing on getting into jobs.
Now, Robert, that is all win-win, and this was a great idea. And as you say, in the first 6 years, everybody's going, okay, hey, we're moving. We're making some smart decisions here. This is awesome. And then along the way, you get a movement by a particular interest group that says, hey, wait a minute, we're being too harsh here and we need to soften the approach. And as a result, it's had a negative effect. As you say, it's kind of taken away the incentive to encourage people, you know, or expect people to get back to work. And
in the old days, we had one program that put people on cash welfare and kept them there year after year after year.
Right.
Now we have a bunch of programs. That one program requires work, but we have other programs like food stamps or public health insurance or the Earned Income Tax Credit or housing assistance that provides assistance to families and doesn't have a strong work requirement and hopes that people are working. And what we found is that people are sometimes being able to sort of survive outside of the labor force, not working, by knitting together all these other programs. And that's not good for them, and it's not good for their children either.
Exactly.
So what we have to do is bring some of the lessons that we learned with that one welfare reform, welfare program, cash welfare program, to these other programs, and continue to be helping families that are outside of the labor force get into work, because really you can't rise above poverty if you're not working. And you really can't get the training and education you need to get a higher wage job.
Exactly.
Unless you get into work. So it's just some of the forces of sort of entitlement have said, well, okay, you fix that one program and we can't do anything about that because Congress acted, but we'll add more benefits over here and over here. And that, I think, has had a negative effect. On top of that, the economy has not been working on all cylinders the way it should. Mm-hmm. And that makes it even harder. And so I think that really, you know, people are struggling out there. Things are not going as well as we'd like them to be. I think there are two things. We need a stronger economy, and we need these programs that have gone backwards on work requirements to get a little stronger.
Well, and that's the thing. I think the question that people are asking is, what got lost in translation? You know, when you see something working that has a positive effect, you just keep doing more of it. But in our country, we go, no, let's just, let's forget about that, right?
I mean, there are strong interests in American politics that, and in society that doesn't really accept the idea of work requirements and would rather address poverty just by providing handouts without expectations of work or behavioral changes. Those folks feel that way, and they are sometimes powerful in federal government and in states. And so, you have to keep pressing. You can't give up. You can't forget that this argument has to continuously be made. And I think sometimes and in the wake of the recession, President Obama and his policies rushed in with new efforts to just shore up people by providing assistance and not enough emphasis on work. And we're getting back there, but we have to keep at it.
Well, you know, to me, Robert, and I don't mean to be so harsh about this, but I think the empirical evidence, there's enough of it to demonstrate and support what the welfare reform started to do, and that should have been something that just was automatically embraced and just assumed into any model of entitlement, so to speak, that was going to help people, that there had to be an end purpose in this, not to keep people down on the plantation, so to speak. And I don't mean to be sounding so irreverent.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you. I ran the programs in New York. New York is a blue state, full of a lot of liberals. But we believe in the Giuliani administration, Bloomberg administration, Pataki administration, we believe strongly that that people did better when they were coming into a program that had an expectation and a requirement that they get into employment fast. And child poverty and poverty rates dropped, and we were in better shape. And I think the country is in better shape when we have that kind of expectation in our programs.
Well, and I understand and have a lot of sympathy for where we are right now. I mean, this has just been the worst recovery that we've ever experienced in our lifetimes. Usually, 18, maybe probably the most 24 months it would take for us to spin out of this. But we've been languishing, and it's just almost like when it comes to the economy, we're just not really dealing with the reality of how bad it really is. And
I agree. I think that's true. I also think, I deal in poverty, helping people get up that first ladder. There are also real difficult problems in the middle where people aren't able to advance up in that regard. But one thing we have to avoid is addressing that problem with more welfare. That problem of people struggling in the middle, that really needs the economy to pick up.
It really is about opportunity, isn't it, Robert?
Exactly. That's
right. Exactly. I agree. Robert Dorey, as he mentioned, he was Mayor Bloomberg's Commissioner of New York City Human Resources Administrator and also an American Enterprise Institute Mortgage Fellow in Poverty Studies. Robert, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Staples. The back-to-school season can be stressful for parents and students alike. As the end of the summer approaches, many retailers are already stocking holiday candy and decor, making it difficult to find school supplies. Parents can rely on Staples to have the school supplies their children need in stock throughout the back-to-school season, at the lowest prices guaranteed. Christine Mallon, Vice President of Retail Marketing at Staples, joins us to share some back-to-school advice.
As the start of school approaches, many retailers have moved on and started stocking for the next holiday. At Staples, parents can shop confidently, knowing that we're still in stock on all of the back-to-school essentials they need at the lowest prices guaranteed.
Staples keeps school essentials in stock all season long at the lowest prices. Shop the Less List for School, weekly school steals, and take advantage of the 110% lowest price guarantee to stay on budget. For more, visit staples.com.
Do you know that good digestion is your body's first line of defense? Millions of Americans suffer from poor digestion. It shows up in the form of heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, and many other symptoms. Healthy digestion relies on armies of friendly bacteria. These good bugs keep bad bugs in check. Probimune, a new, uniquely developed probiotic, is scientifically proven to get to your gut and deliver the benefits of improved digestion. Probimune is an immune system booster and a digestive health enhancer. It's simple to use, and most importantly, you will feel Probimune working, soothing, and relaxing the gut. Get yours today by visiting younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Again, that's 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off your first order.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates or around the world via shortwave, we welcome you to Bill Martinez Live. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. And, hey, if you want to be in the running, we got the soundtrack of the movie Ben-Hur. We've got free tickets. Also, what else we got? We got the book. Yes, the book of Ben-Hur as well. Just drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me, do you want to be in the running for it? Hey, we'll put you in the hopper, and we pull out your name, make sure your address is there, and it will be off to you. And thank you very much for, you know, being with us. Hey, regardless of who wins the election this November, it will be historic. You know that, right? One school of thought believes that Hillary will win simply because we have an opportunity to elect the first woman president, no less on the heels of the first black president, as Obama's presidency brought up not just unresolved issues and biases of race, mainstream political discussions. Will Hillary's presidency do the same for women's issues like equal pay and child care? Well, with us right now to talk about it is Beate Shillay. She is author of The Women's Code and Happy Women, Happy World. Beate, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. I'm excited.
Hey, well, good to have you here. We need your perspective on this to break it down. I mean, we have lots of options here, and they're clear options for this election 2016 cycle that we're in. I mean, there's no gray area between these two candidates, is there?
I mean, truthfully, there really isn't. What we're seeing right now is simply the result of our own choices. So it's almost, you know, it's very interesting to me how people are so opinionated one way or another, or they wonder why there's nothing else in between. It's like, look, this is what we choose. This is where we are. This is it. It's either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, the result, as you say, and I agree with you. I mean, we are where we are as the result of the choices that we've been making along the way. But also in terms of communication, I think above all, we require and appreciate some sense of validation that we can be involved in the conversation when we have been so divided in this country for a couple of decades. I mean, this has been a growing process, but it's almost come to an absolute climax here where people are so frustrated and tired of talking or shouting at one another. They want to have a conversation now, I sense. What do you sense?
You know what? It's really interesting that you say that, because that, I believe, is it's almost a shock to a lot of people that what we do has an influence on politics. Mm-hmm. And that is the rise of Donald Trump. Is, I think it was more like a joke in the beginning, and suddenly, you know, more and more people said we need to set a message. Or at the same thing with Bernie Sanders in the beginning, is that we really are recognizing as human beings or as part of, you know, living in this country, that what we want actually, you know, does matter, and that we have an influence on it. And that's really the shift, I believe, that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That suddenly we recognize, hey, my voice does count.
Exactly. Well, I give Dr. Ben Carson a lot of credit for that. You remember at the President's Prayer Breakfast, he sat there before the President, and like Ronald Reagan telling telling Gorbachev to tear the walls down, he sat there and told President Obama and the nation that we needed to tear down the walls of political correctness, didn't he?
Yes, I believe that that's really sort of the other part of the shift that we're seeing in society in general, which is primarily brought on by millennials, mm-hmm. is that this classic red and blue, and the classic, this is the Republican opinion as it's approved, this is the Democratic opinion as it's approved, and then there's really nothing else that counts, that's been shattered in this
exactly.
election, completely shattered.
Well, and look at it. Look at the outsider influence in Bernie Sanders. You mentioned Donald Trump. And I still think that's been under-evaluated and under-measured. You know, in my travels across the country, Beate, is that I run into this sentiment, this groundswell sentiment that I'm not seeing understood or even reported on by the mainstream media.
Yes, what's happening is that we are seeing the extremes. You know, it's like the pendulum. As the pendulum swings, it swings mm-hmm. from one extreme to the other until it eventually finds its middle. So we have nationalism, socialism, and everything in between. And really, it's a great thing if we think about it, because people are thinking.
Yes,
which
exactly.
is phenomenal.
Well, we always like it when things are moving, because you know, we cannot live with the status quo, and just keeping and maintaining stasis is never a positive thing, because you know, one of the things we learn in marketing right away is that it's ever dynamic, and you cannot ignore that. And right now, more than ever, there's a dynamism that is occurring across this country that I think is catching some people off guard. It certainly caught off 16 politicians on the GOP side, didn't it?
Yes. Well, what's happening is the shift, is the handing over of the power from baby boomers jumping Generation X and going straight to the millennials, mm-hmm. because it's the largest group. It's 80 million people. Baby boomers were 75 million, and a lot of them are sort of, you know, starting to fade out. And now millennials are starting to get into power, and it's a whole different generation with a whole different set of values. And we estimate that as they are only 25% of the American workforce, within the next 10 years, they will be 75% of the American workforce. So we will see a complete shift within the next couple of years of power.
Yes, exactly. Well, as the originator and creator of the Woman's Code and nationally known gender decoder, I want to give you time to talk about, you know, balancing gender equality and looking for a level playing field, because that's the other thing that's driving this, is whether or not you're talking about immigration, nationalism. I think America is saying, hey, can we, and even trade, can we level the playing field, but even level the playing field for women in the workforce?
Yes, and that, I believe, is another one of the biggest discussions we're having right now. Again, you know, driven a lot by millennials who are being taught to feel equal, and to they're being taught to really believe in equality, diversity, inclusion, and all these things. So we are seeing that in the old status quo, where the white man, and you know, I jokingly and not so jokingly say, you know, we've been ruled by the angry middle-aged white guy,
yes.
And that is really being challenged and attacked, and that makes the people in power, primarily middle-aged angry white men, even more angry. But what we are seeing is it's cracking wide open, especially for women. If women are 51% of the population in the United States, then we are not a minority. We are actually the majority. It makes no sense that we are only 2% of CEOs. It makes no sense that we only occupy 19% of Senate seats. We should truly hold half of everything. And that's really the equality that for some reason finds so much resistance, because if my husband doesn't give me the right, but my husband teaches my daughter to have the same rights, you know, it's again the values you were talking about. It's all convoluted right now. It's like, what do we really believe in, and are we going to follow through on our beliefs?
Well, and I think, but I'm hopeful to that, and I know you are too. Is that I see the trend moving in the direction. I mean, I remember in not that long ago there were not that many women in politics. Now more and more, they're breaking through ceilings, and they're very well represented. So I think it will continue to move in that direction, as you say, with the force of the millennials behind it. I think also, I'm an empirical evidence kind of guy, and you look at the bottom line, say, hey, can she do the? Is she doing the job? If she's doing the job, hey, let's just keep it going. And that's what we're coming down to, because I think we've accommodated incompetence for so long, and we're paying a price, whether it's in our government or in the workplace or in other areas. And I say to all the women and to everyone is that it's time to dream big dreams again, and don't be held back, right, Beate?
Absolutely. This is the time to push, and let's crack that ceiling or the ground floor, whatever you call it, but we're unstoppable.
Amen. All right. Beate Chalet has been with us. Thank you, Beate. It's Bill Martinez live, 19 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact, and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Ever wonder why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA Plus. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You would be my bodyguard. I can be alone, lost pal.
Hey, it's all about you. Fresh every day, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And if you're like me and you're in Hawaii these days, it's a Betty early here, 3 to 6 in the morning. Good to be with you. Happy you could come along for the ride. Our next guest, Brett Smith and his partner Chuck Dixon, have strayed from their typical comic fodder into what what Robert or Brett Smith is calling one of the most subversive things the right has done with pop culture, inspired by the New York Times bestseller Clinton Cash by Peter Schweitzer. It is currently the number one bestseller in comic and graphic novels on Amazon. We're talking Clinton Cash, a graphic novel. The illustrations are absolutely outstanding, hilariously retold, and inspired by the blockbuster book that reshaped the contours of this presidential election. And with us right now is one of the artists, Brett Smith. Brett, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good. Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, congratulations on the book. As I said off the air to you, I appreciate the levity of a serious topic. We've all been warned out, and for those people unfortunate to be in critical states to this election, who've been carpet bombed with every bit of advertising they can possibly handle. I mean, they're ready for therapy right now, and maybe this might be the perfect therapy for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm starting to get burnt out too. So, you know, the graphic novel is a great alternative to all the seriousness that's out there right now. Because the main vehicle that we used in the graphic novel is satire and humor and parody and mockery. A lot of the same tactics the left has used against the right via Saturday Night Live or The Daily Show for, you know, probably as long as I've been alive, nearly 40 years.
Right.
So we wanted to kind of take those tactics and turn them around and use them back on the left. And, you know, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it's rather therapeutic, you know, as I suggested. Mm-hmm. You know, Brett is, ladies and gentlemen, so you understand, he's a professional commercial artist working in the comic book industry as a color artist, a storyboard artist in the advertising industry. And Brett, you and Chuck coming together, and Chuck as well has had a similar background, right?
Yeah, Chuck's got close to 40 years writing in comics. He also writes novels. He's done a graphic novel on The Hobbit. He did Amity Schlei's Forgotten Man, which is another a graphic novel adaptation of a New York Times bestselling book. So, and then the other artists that we have all have a combined of probably 30 years experience working for Marvel and DC. So we really had an A-team of fantastic artists on this book. And, it's one of the reasons why it's doing, it's, you know, it's been so successful and doing so well.
As you guys were coming up with these strips, could you hear each other kind of chuckling as you were illustrating these different ideas? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Chuck came up with the script, but I told all the artists, I said, look, you know, we have a lot of creative freedom on this book, and I want everybody to have fun and to take advantage of this. So if you see an opening where you can add something to a panel, or you can enhance it or make it funnier or do something that's just outrageous, go for it. Because we have the opportunity on this. And there's one panel in particular which Graham Nolan did where we parody a DC Comics cover of The Flash, and we have Bill Clinton running through. And Graham said, can I put a hamburger in his hand? And I said, hey, the guy used to love McDonald's back
exactly.
in the 90s, so go for it, you know?
Right.
It just makes it funnier.
Yeah, it adds to it because people understand the subtlety and the reference without a doubt. And here you are, you know, I've often said whether it's in your case where, you know, you're artist, but any of the creative fields, I mean, we long to have a canvas, and I use that metaphorically, a canvas to work with, whether it's an acting stage, a napkin, or, you know, whatever it is that we can illustrate our ideas with, right?
Yeah, that's a great word, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to ask that I can borrow it from you. Canvas is a great word. You know, I'm a big believer that the medium is the message, and so much of society and culture is not so much shaped by what the content of the message is, but what, you know, how that content gets across. What is the medium? And we have two generations of Americans raised on film, TV, video games, smartphones. So I think processing verbal and visual information at the same time, I think, is not only natural, but I think it's preferable these days. And the right needs to get away from just doing strictly articles and books. We really need to start looking at alternative mediums like animation, like graphic storytelling, like we do in Clinton Cash's graphic novel, and other alternatives, so we can reach a bigger and wider audience.
Well, I think what you're suggesting here is the right has taken themselves a little too serious. I mean, it is a serious thing when we talk about politics and we see, you know, what's happening with poverty in our world and in our country, you know, the threats upon the American dream and all that. You can be very serious about it, but there's always room for a Will Rogers perspective, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big believer that humor not only is the best way to tell the truth, but also I think humor brings people together. And I'm hoping that's what we do with this book. And I think we're already starting to see that whether you are, you know, a Hillary supporter or a Bernie supporter, you really need to read this book to understand the truth about the Clintons. And at the same time, it's just a fresh and crisp and kind of engaging, different way of absorbing Peter's original book. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more accessible this way.
Well, and I think to your point here, Brett, humor is a bit disarming. And we have always, I say always, maybe in the last couple of decades, we've been arming up at the mere suggestion of any kind of contention because both sides are so doggone serious, you know. And I think this is why, you know, when the president has his annual event, you know, with the media, you know, where they kind of make fun and laugh, I think, you know, it's fun. I know it's fun for the country to be able to see, you know, the comedic relief. And so this is a welcome change. Also, it just opens up the thought process, you know, where we go, okay, let's look at this issue outside of the partisanship that, hold back on your partisanship. Let's seriously look at what's being presented here in Clinton Cash. If you couldn't accept the truth directly from, you know, Peter Schweizer, maybe in a comical sort of way, you might be opened to understand that, you know, this kind of activity in our government, the greed and the things that are pointed out here are very dangerous, even if you just want to say the appearance thereof and not even say, look at it, we haven't found a blue dress yet in this particular episode.
Right.
It's still pretty frightening in terms of the future of our republic.
Yes, you know, there's no smoking gun, obviously, but we do establish a pattern in the book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I knew that, you know, the combination of the visuals along with Peter's exhaustive research and precision detail would be pretty damning. Mm-hmm. And the book is, you know, the other thing is, and what I wanted the book to be, I wanted the book to be as un-PC as possible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for people who are tired of political correctness, check out the book because it is completely un-PC. And we went out of our way to really do that. I think there's such a vacuum out there. People are so hungry for something authentic and real. And so much of the PC police control the language. They control, they're getting to the point where they're starting to want to control our conscience, what we think.
Yes.
And what, and what we say about things. And I think people have had enough, frankly. I know I have.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Brent, and I agree with you. I think people were refreshed to hear Dr. Ben Carson. You know, I said earlier to a previous guest that, Ben Carson did what did to Barack Obama in political correctness, what Ronald Reagan did to Gorbachev in saying, bring that wall down. You know, let's bring down the wall of political correctness. Let's have a conversation. And, I think that's starting to happen. It's not a total groundswell, but I sense it building because people are realizing, hey, the other side's not quite as bad as I thought they were. There is some truth. And if we focus on the majors, what do we want here in America ultimately after all is said and done? Forget about Democrat or Republican and forget about all these hyphenations. I'm sick of these hyphenations that has done everything to make us the ununited states of America. And, let's come together for the cause of democracy and freedom and big dreams and opportunity. A country that once again acknowledges hard work and achievement.
Well, and you said it earlier, I think all of us need to stop taking ourselves so seriously. And that's what we try to do in this book, is to inject some humor. I've always said that I think Blazing Saddles has done more to heal race relations over the years than the Great Society or Lyndon Johnson could ever do. And it's because you had two great minds, Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor, that came together and said, hey, let's just cut the BS and stop taking ourselves so seriously and let's have some fun and let's just lampoon everybody.
Exactly.
And that's what we wanted to do in this book. I wanted to lampoon the left and my guys, my creative team, we dialed into that and got it big time. And it's on every page of that book, and people are going to love it.
Well, I know that they are. So we've got about a minute left here. A couple of illustrations, a couple of your favorites here, Brett, so we can tease the audience so we make sure they get their hands on it because they will be blessed and they'll chuckle with the rest of us on this.
Yeah, we have a bunch of chapter heads in the book, which are just hilarious. I already mentioned the Clinton blur, which parodies Bill Clinton as the Flash. We've also got another one called Rainforest Riches, which Sergio Cariello did, and it has Bill and Hillary in the rainforest chopping down trees. Hillary's in kind of a hazmat suit spraying chemical bug spray everywhere, and there are there are parrots and monkeys and sloths falling out of the trees. So that's the type of humor that's in the book, and there's even greater panels and chapter heads than that.
Well, if you're ready for a smile, and I think the voter politic is ready for a good chuckle or two, Clinton Cash, a graphic novel, you want to get your hands on it. Brett, available at all the usual places, correct?
Yeah, Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, and as of last week, we debuted number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Outstanding. Congratulations. Brett Smith, along with Chuck Dixon, Clinton Cash, a graphic novel. Make sure you get your hands on it. Brett, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are your goals